Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive.
Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See?
You were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy shit. Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
I mean, goosebumps. Hell? Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got you until 6 o'clock, and we are commercial-free for at least 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer.
Man, that's exciting. When a radio station says it's commercial-free, I'm expecting like 10 songs in a row.
Right. Usually Sonic is like, we're going to have Usher, and then
right.
We're
going to... Or Marty Leonard's is like, here we go. We're going to have, Floyd followed by the record company.
We're just going to have sports.
Damn right.
That's all that we're going to do
Hot
today.
Hot buttered sports.
Tanny is off today. So Alex is here. One of the Tylers is here.
Do we know which one? I mean, like, we've been talking for a while. We've been doing show prep and everything, but I still am not sure if I know.
Faringal.
Yes.
See,
you can answer a question right now, Tyler Faringal. Have you and Tyler Buterbaugh ever produced a show together? Has there been hot Tyler on Tyler action for a sports radio show here on the Score?
I don't think the two of us have done one show together.
That's amazing.
That's incredible
to me.
I feel like there might be a window for that to happen here on afternoons at some point. Alex will need a day off, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Is Tyler Buterbaugh here? Alex, you can go home. Let's get some double Tyler action around here.
Works for me. Is he in the house? No?
I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him either.
Yeah. All right, so stay.
So they're here today. Tanny's off today. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
So here's what we got planned for you today. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Cubs on today's show. And as I said, we're commercial free for the next half hour. So if you're just like, hey, are you guys going to take one of those long breaks? No, not really. We're going to talk with you about stuff and things. Later on, Lomas Brown is going to be on the show. Dude. We'll talk offensive line play with one of the more delightful people. And I wonder if he's finally met Jason Benetti. Because when Dan and I talked to him last year, we were saying how we hope that he met Jason Benetti because he would be like the best buddy cop show ever.
Oh, yeah. They'd be adorable together.
Right?
They really would be.
So we can ask him about that and talk offensive line play with him.
I love that booking. That's a great idea from Alex Kuhn. And like, and just to talk about left tackle, right tackle, Bears offensive line, Ben Johnson offensive line usage in Detroit and such.
Absolutely. Anthony Heron is going to join us at 4:25 today. We'll ask him about some of the moves that the Bears made, the draft picks. And we do need to talk about that jacket that he was rocking on draft night because Anthony Heron was looking amazing.
The baby blue, right?
Yes, the checkerboard.
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was good. It still can't touch Travis Hunter's Electric Pink. I thought that was amazing.
That was Debbie Gibson's song.
Electric Pink?
It was Electric Youth.
Yeah, it's Electric Youth? Yeah. Okay. All right. I was thinking, there's lots of electric songs. Electric Avenue is that's where I go to do my electronics shopping.
Yes.
I did back in the day.
I mean, that was.
That's where it is exactly where I went.
Was it?
It's where Eddie Grant went.
I know, but what I'm trying to think, was it Montgomery Ward that used that as their. Now we're showing our age. We're sorry.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Speaking of which, at 5 o'clock, we'll talk about Bill Belichick.
Don't abuse us. Tyler, Alex, do not abuse us. Don't shut us down. If people want to talk about when we met, you know, we're good with that.
We're not going to talk about that.
See?
It was pretty easy. It was in 1995.
It's true. On the field at Wrigley.
At Wrigley Field.
Amazing.
I was 19.
Unbelievable.
If you can't talk about that...
Well,
people are going to start digging.
19. See? Isn't that how old she was?
Maybe.
How old was she when they met?
No one knows because they're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My bad. I don't want
to. But he's going to do another. God. I think he's actually literally getting ready to do an interview over at NYU as we speak.
Bill is?
Yeah.
With parameters?
I'm guessing because it's probably.
Hello, Insta-face.
Yes. Like an academic type deal. Yeah. So they're probably. Whatever.
Is he going to wear that same navy sweatshirt with the hole in it? That made me uncomfortable.
What's crazy about Bill is...
A lot of things.
Yes, but he really knows how to wear a suit. Like, he looks good in suits. And I'm not saying that was necessarily the interview to bust out a suit. Although it is 60 minutes.
It is 60 minutes, or was it Sunday morning? And then it's been used on all their different platforms. Maybe. It doesn't matter. CBS. But
to wear a holy t-shirt.
Well, it's...
And I get that it's...
It was his dad's. His dad, a legendary assistant at Navy.
You know what you could do?
You could sew it up?
No. You could just hold it up.
You could. You could
have
just
wear regular clothes and be like, absolutely. I wanted to share this because it's part of the book.
Or
of look at, you know, my dad and how big of an influence he's been on me.
Or you could wear a t-shirt underneath it so I don't see a big hunk of your flesh hanging out there.
It's all cute when you're winning football games. It's less cute when you're not.
I agree with that.
We'll get to that in more detail at 5 o'clock. The Cubs win in Pittsburgh today. The bats came out against Paul Skeens.
How about it? 2 out of 3 they win in Pittsburgh. Cubs, as of right now, have a 2.5 game lead on the second place Cincinnati Reds and Milwaukee Brewers in that division. Cubs Brewers coming up. 3 big ones starting Friday night.
Well, the Cincinnati Reds are going to be in second place when this weekend's over then.
What? Oh, they have the mighty White Sox this weekend?
No, because the Cubs are going to beat the Brewers.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. So, okay. Yeah, I get it. My bad. So, I thought that was a White Sox braggadocio moment, which you're not really prone to. So that's a bad read by me.
Not right now. There's not lots to brag
Chase
about.
Chase Mydroth is coming off the injured list.
I mean, that is good that Chase Mydroth is healthy and can now be an effective part of whatever it is that they're doing over there. But they're still a ways away. They're 7-23, so it's not great. But Dog Day did go really well. And I really enjoyed watching a couple nights ago all of the adorable dogs that were there, all the good boys and girls who were at the game enjoying the White Sox.
It's a beautiful thing. They do that extremely well.
And they do it a couple times a year, right? They do one early and then one in the dog days.
Yeah, I think that's true.
It's one of the better things that they do. The baseball is not one of the better things that they do right now.
There's a list. Let's do a list of the better things that they do. The dog days, elotes, you know?
Elite, I mean, with elotes.
Elite elotes. They're elites the with shakes. Elotes.
Yeah, both the of shakes. Them, the cookie shake and the campfire shake, are both winners in my book.
Yeah.
And I'm lactose intolerant.
Hey, man. Rule 5 picks. I mean, they're pretty good at Rule 5 picks, yeah. at least the Shane Smith one.
Onions, they're really good at that.
Really good at onions. I totally agree.
Concourse ambiance.
Yeah, it's nice. It's you know, it's
commitment to community baseball.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that organizationally the White Sox are great at.
Yeah, loyalty to employees, taking care of people that need to be taken care of.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of things. Baseball.
Yeah, it's just
got to get the baseball right.
That pesky baseball part. Lawrence, I'm looking at the standings and looking also at the stat leaders. The game totals have evened out in this way. The Cubs have now played in 32 games, the Yankees and Dodgers have played in 31. The Dodgers obviously played in Tokyo. But remember, there was that while early in the season where the Cubs have played a bunch more games. Now, there's several teams that have played 32 games. So now we can look at...
Including the Pirates.
Including the Pirates. And now we can look at the stat leaders for team stats and not just the rate stats. We can look at the totals. The Cubs have the third most home runs in MLB. That is a different thing. You saw the stat at the end of the Marquee broadcast that they've had now five different games of four homers or more, which is how many they had last year.
All of last year.
Yeah.
And they've done it in 32 games this year.
So they're third in home runs. And if we go to the rate stats, they're second in batting average. They are second in on-base percentage, third in slugging percentage, and second in OPS. The teams that they're there with are the Yankees and the Dodgers. Those are the three best offenses in just about all the categories that matter the most in baseball. Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs. This offensive thing is for real.
Well, and it's good to see some of the guys like bounce back offensively too. Like Dansby Swanson had a couple of hits in this game. He had a good series against the Pirates after being moved down in the lineup.
Yeah, he homered in the first game of the series, had three hits last night, and then another homer and a couple of hits today. What'd you see? You and I have talked a lot about Dansby Swanson, some off the air, some on the air.
I'd love for him to catch the ball when Michael Bush makes a perfect throw on a 3-6-3 double play opportunity. I'd love that.
I'd love for him to pick up the ball on a slow grounder up the middle that doesn't need to turn into a big two-run double last night.
Yep, there's a lot of that when it comes to... But
really good offensive showing here after getting dropped down. Sometimes consequences matter to people like that from an offensive perspective.
Or maybe there's just a little less pressure. You know, you're like, oh, all right. You know, they're seeing something that I'm doing wrong, and maybe some adjustments have been made. But in this particular game, the Cubs took advantage of awkward Paul Skenes today.
Yeah, you got this one kind of marked down as a possible loss.
You're thinking that you've lost the series because you lost, you know, last night. You're thinking, all right, we're gonna lose this series because here comes Paul Skenes.
And especially when he survived the awkwardness early, like walking the bases loaded, and then Michael Bush goes first pitch swinging and hits the double play, and they're up 2-0. Skenes is up 2-0 in the fifth, and you're like, well, I guess he got through that. I think they missed their chances. That's too bad.
Yeah, I didn't like the Michael Bush at bat in the third. Right when he loaded the bases up,
yeah,
and you're sitting there going, he is having problems with finding it and finding his release point. He looked out of sync. It's like, don't let him off the hook. But here's the thing. It made sense from a game plan standpoint. Before I headed out to get in here, I was watching Marquee's pregame show, and Cole and Cliff were talking about, it's funny, I actually know a guy named Cliff Cole, but Cole and Cliff we're talking about what you do against Skenes, and this is what Cliff Floyd had said he would be thinking if he were in the box against that guy.
But I will tell you this, though. Me, personally, if I'm going up there on an on-deck circle, I'm going up there, and I'm not waiting around. I am trying to click him. If he's trying to establish his fastball early, I'm not trying to do that much damage. I'm trying to put the barrel on the baseball. And if I'm a power guy, I'm just trying to make good, solid contact, man. I'm not trying to go out there and overdo it. He is wanting you to overswing. He is wanting you to be ultra aggressive. I'm going to be aggressive. I just got to get my pitch early.
Interesting. Because Swanson homers on the fourth pitch in the fifth, but Tucker homers on the first pitch in the fifth.
And Bush hit into that double play on the first pitch.
So maybe... Well, with that, with the Cliff thing in mind, then maybe you don't freak out quite as much about the first pitch for Bush. But I don't know. Dude just walked three guys. I got to take one strike. I can't take two.
You can take one.
You can take one.
By the way, middle seven, White Sox 4, Milwaukee nothing.
Oh, look at that.
So
there you go, helping out. So by the end of the day, the Reds are the second place team. First versus third starting tomorrow.
That's right. Look at the White Sox. And someone's going to tell them that they're helping the Cubs out, and then the eighth and ninth inning are just going to be disasters, and they're going to lose the game.
But, like, Tucker is great at ambushing, at going up there and first pitch. He's great
with a plan. He's got – whether the plan is I'm going to ambush or I'm going to make them think I'm going to ambush – he's got a really good plan almost every time he steps to the plate.
He's got a really nice effect on Seiya specifically this year, because Seiya is like so hardwired for patience, and he doesn't get respect from the umps, and then that can get in his head, and then he's changing. He's playing from behind. But Tucker, like you're saying, he just goes up there like, all right, I'm going to look for pitch X, and if I get it, I'm just going to swing the hell out of this bat. And Seiya is feeding off of that, and has said so, is doing the same kind of thing.
Quiet as it's kept, Seiya Suzuki with a higher OPS than Kyle Tucker.
That's amazing.
Significantly.
Oh,
it's a 990 OPS for Seiya, 950 for Tuck.
That is the guy who needed to be their best player last year, and doesn't any longer need to be their best player because they've got one in Tucker. But if he can do that, well, I mean, goodness, that's how you get the home run stats where they are when Seiya's doing this and Carson Kelly is having the start he's having.
Tyler, why don't you identify the station?
Where are we?
You're listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. It's Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We just wrapped up Cubs postgame a little while ago, so we're spending a lot of time talking about the Cubs overall. We'll get to some Bears stuff for sure inside of the 4 o'clock hour. It's going to be, if you like sexy football, we've got sexy football for you starting at 4 o'clock with Lomas Brown and Big Ann Heron, who are going to be on the show. A little bit of basketball conversation will happen in the 3 o'clock hour today. Last night was bizarre. It was bizarre to watch the game and be like, what's happening out there? And seeing both managers converge on the home plate umpire to be like, something's going on out in the outfield.
Yeah, you know, I admit I did not watch live. I had a musical thing last night, so I went and did that. And then when I came back later in the night and I had stayed off social media, I watched the condensed and I saw, the reaction to what happened. I said, oh, my God. And then I start going on the media and everything. And it's like, and then you dig in. By now, everybody, I think, has gotten themselves acclimated with what took place. But in the moment, can we hear Pat and Ron? Because it happens after the aforementioned play. It's just a little ground ball up the middle that bounces off Dansby Swanson into the right field space there between right and center. And behind that, at the 21-foot high right field for number 21, Roberto Clemente in right field of Pittsburgh, that's where we now know the fan fell off. Here's Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer in real time talking about what happened last night in the seventh inning in Pittsburgh.
And the Pirates have taken a 4-3 lead.
Well, and I think in this play, Pat, somebody has fallen out of the stands. Oh, my. This is scary. Somebody leaning over the stands in the outfield in right field has fallen onto the field.
No. And the trainers are going to head out. And the body, we're going to get the binoculars on the body out there. What a terrible thing to see. Somebody laying on the ground. And the medical people are hustling. They've got the little flatbed truck to help take this person away. Never seen such a thing run.
No.
Awful. Just awful.
You know, you just terrible.
You're going to put the person on the stretcher. Some medical people are lifting the body. Oh, unbelievable. The players are all kind of on their knees in the infield, hoping that this person is going to be okay.
That detail from Pat Hughes about the players on their knees, like Swanson and Horner taking a knee just next to each other in the infield.
Andrew McCutchen behind them taking a knee.
And then the camera cuts into the dugout, and Nicky Lopez is doing the sign of the cross as he's praying for this man. And just harrowing. That's a tall wall.
About 25 feet?
21 for Clemente. So, but from where he was over the guardrail, yeah, probably 24, something like that. And of course, what will come with this is guardrail conversation and is it high enough and possible lawsuits and everything like that. But just in the moment, though, to be a ball player playing a silly little game, and I know it's your job and everything, but then, oh, God, to be a ball player and a coach and just kind of seeing all this and living with this.
Yeah, as it was going on last night, the first thing I thought was, We've seen stuff like this happen over the last couple of years and with Hamlin in the NFL, where players then kind of are like, we're really supposed to just keep playing? Like, this seems really strange. Now, this isn't a participant, it's a fan. And we know that, what, in 2022, there was a fan in Atlanta that fell out of the stands and passed away. But to see that, like, as you're playing, if you're those guys and you're like, what's going on? And then you see in the dugout, like O'Neal Cruz is pointing out to the outfield being like, something just happened. And his teammates are like, what are you talking about? And then they see it and they react to what's going on. It's the compartmentalization that you have to do in that moment is crazy.
It's crazy to me. Frankly, it's been odd even just thinking about our show.
Yes. I've been thinking about, how do we even talk about this?
Yeah, man. And that's understandable. And I think we just kind of process it together a little bit, because it's jarring and it takes you out of it. This is Craig Counsell and Derek Shelton, both managers, like, walked onto the field and conferenced, and we're trying to, like, oh, that's, what are they there for? And, oh, they were there for this. Here's Counsell after the game talking about his perspective on it.
First, hope the gentleman's okay, and thinking about his family and him right now. Looked obviously scary. We kind of saw it. Didn't see it happen, but saw it out there after the play. I just hope everything turns out okay.
Not to dwell on the incident itself, but how disturbing is it to see something like that and then have to continue playing afterward?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know what we didn't know what we saw. I don't think we know what we saw. All we saw is somebody laying on the warning track. So, you know, that's not good.
God, they don't know exactly what they saw.
Right. But so why don't we get someone who was a little bit closer to it? Because obviously, like, Craig's in the dugout while he's seeing this. Dansby Swanson is on the field. Here's what Dansby had to say about it.
I honestly didn't really see anything. Just saw kind of like the urgency in Counsell's face when he came out. And then obviously I think everyone kind of realized what was going on. And obviously a very, scary moment. And I just kind of, you kind of see like everybody's taking a knee and just praying and, you know, hoping everything's okay. Obviously we just praying for, you know, a good, strong recovery, just to be with him and his family. Never been a part of something like that, and obviously hope to never be a part of something like that again.
What does it take to just reset and focus.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of like a humble reminder of just like the gratitude that we get to be able to play this game, and just there's so many, you know, folks out there that obviously support us and come to games and are a big reason why we are able to do what we do. And yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough and just kind of puts things, you know, in perspective and makes you want to tell everybody you love them and, you know, never take any of that for granted.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting way to look at it and try to look at it as gratitude, because when you watch the video, it's like, wait, what happened? Like, how did this happen? Was this a moment of jubilation that ended up going too far? Was this intentional? Was the person put, like, you don't, and it, I've seen a bunch of different videos of it, and I'm still not sure.
Yeah, I know
what it is that I saw, and to try and make sense of it, because that's what I do. I need stuff to make sense a lot of times. I'm like, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, it's interesting because counsel says the same thing. Not sure what we saw. Did you see a guy jump? Did you see a guy who was drunk and got jumped up and got excited about a play?
That was like the first thing that I thought of.
That's my gut on it.
Because, you know, that was an exciting play at the time.
They took a lead.
And you know, like, it's a guy, like, maybe, like yeah, and then...
And there is video out there, and it's kind of gruesome, like, some of the social media thing. Like, he falls over, and he topples. He spins forward. My gut is that that's what it was, and a guy jumping up excited... And he's right there on the rail. One more kind of eyewitness report from Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, who was on with Mully and Haw this morning.
Well, obviously a lot of emotions, your prayers and thoughts and everything go out to the fan, their family, or their family, and anybody who's with them. The craziest thing for us, I guess, from our vantage point was the emotions of the play, and you see the ball kick off Dansby. And the ball shoots out toward right, so everybody's looking at the ball, so everybody saw it. You know, you saw the whole thing from our vantage point, and it was kind of right in that area, and you just, like, your first thought is just shock, like, what just happened? What was that? And then as the play settles, you realize it's actually the person, you know, you immediately start thinking for the worst, but, yeah, it's just one of those situations that you just pray you never have to see. You know, you pray obviously for the family and for the person that, you know, they're going to be all right.
I wonder if, you know, like as a group, you talk through all of that together after a game, if you're Craig Counsell, as individuals, do you go and find the team chaplain if that's what you need, or the mental skills coach, and talk through it? You talk through it together because you got to process what you just kind of lived through.
Right. And I wonder about that too, like whether that's one of those things where maybe Craig says something and then says, hey, you know, if any of you need to talk to blank,
right,
they're going to be available for you to talk to, because it's traumatic. Like, if imagine this just happening, like, forget about it happening at a baseball game. Imagine it happening
at a mall.
Yeah.
Like something with like a tall, where like you see the multiple floors together, or a hotel where they do this, the cylindrical floors and the elevators in the middle. And it's like, so, like this, these kind of things could happen in a lot of public spaces.
Right. And imagine how everyone would react to it.
Especially if you saw it, or you saw the aftermath of it.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's always like the idea of our own mortality, as you're seeing. Now, luckily, like, Pittsburgh is one of the elite, like, trauma and head trauma centers in America. So that's good. Like, that's a silver lining in this, is that they are, as a city, as a medical city, they are as prepared and equipped to deal with something like this as any other city in America. But to see it play out, and you see the guys like rushing, you see the Cubs trainers and the Pirates trainers all trying to do something to help this man.
And he's not moving.
And he's not moving.
He's not moving.
His face is bloody. It's It's terrifying.
We get the word later last night that he was in critical condition. I haven't seen anything updated beyond that.
Yeah, I was checking this morning in the Post-Gazette, and there hasn't been a lot of an update, and you would imagine that there's a privacy issue. I mean, think about that part of it. I don't know who he was at the game with, but imagine you're going to the Cubs-Pirates game, and then you get a call about your loved one falling from 25 feet onto the field. You know, like all of that stuff. So I don't know. Hopefully we get a positive update, and hopefully the family will be excited to share the good news of this person being better. And for the last, 15 years or so, you could probably say that Andrew McCutchen has been Mr. Pirate.
It's the heart and soul of that organization from a public perspective, without a doubt. Brilliant young player, evolved into
an MVP,
a brilliant vet who, you know, was fading, but then went away and then came back. And you've seen the atmosphere since he's come back. His first at bat back was legendary, and he's still playing pretty damn well and a thoughtful, very beloved guy.
Here's what he had released, the statement last night, because he was pretty distraught too. Like, he was on the field while all of this was going on. And when it comes to Pittsburgh baseball right now, he is it. Him and Skeens. Like, that's what it is. Here's what he had to say pregame today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're all here. We're, you know, devastated of the situation that took place yesterday. So, you know, we all came in here together as a team after the game, and, you know, said a prayer for him. And, we hope the best for him and his family. And, you know, just so he knows, his friends and family know that, you know, we're all thinking about him and just praying for the best for him. And, yeah, we just, I hope he pulls through, you know, and, yeah, it was a tough situation. So, we're definitely thinking about him. You know, I'm definitely thinking about him. And, we just hope for good news.
And now go to work. Go play a ball game.
Right. We've continue a ball game.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Like,
it's funny because, like, it's not funny, but, like, I saw that the Cubs had fallen behind 4-3, you know? And then as I'm watching Condensed last night and I see that happen, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so what kind of quality of play came after that? Like, what kind of focus on at bats? And, like, this is such a difficult mental sport. It's like, who the hell knows? And then you go out there today and you're on either of these teams. And, again, I hope they had some conversation and some opportunity for counseling, because we know some of these dudes. Like, Nico Horner is a thoughtful, emotionally present, very empathetic person. Ian Happ is the same, you know? And listeners, if you've listened to those guys, you know what kind of dudes they are.
Yeah.
And and they got a lot of them, actually. There's a lot of them who are really, like, kind, you know?
I think you saw it play out.
You did.
And we know that, you know, Dansby is a very faithful believer too, and you hear him talking a little bit about the prayer aspect for him.
How about our guy Matthew Boyd, who we talked to on the show? What a thoughtful, emotional guy that is.
Yeah,
you know, having to think about that. So it's heavy stuff. Let me ask you this, Lawrence. Like, I love the feeling at the ballpark of being able to stand up and put your hands on the rail, like, say, the 300 section at Wrigley, right? Mm-hmm. Which is old, and those steps going down are, like, a little funky as you're getting down to the bottom and stuff. But, like, but just really at any ballpark, that feeling of being on the second deck or the upper deck and having your body just be that accessible to the open air and the terror of the space below just a little bit, if you would ever let yourself think about it. You got to lean over and catch a ball or go for a ball. And it's scary, but that's fun. And there's a trust for you to behave like a responsible adult.
Right. There's a responsibility that goes with it. My seats at White Sox were in section 533. So I had four seats there. But I wanted to, and it's right behind home plate. And I think I was in row one.
It's an incredible vantage point.
It really is. Fly balls can be a little weird there, but...
But on the battery, like watching the pitcher and the 100%. Catcher, incredible.
And I would think about that all the time when I would give my tickets away. And you know, you kind of warn people. You say, hey, you know, it's you might feel a little bit off when you're up that high. Like, don't...
Yeah. That's the way the 300 level at Wrigley should be discussed in the same way. Like, there is a level of responsibility, attentiveness, and frankly, sobriety that would be important to consider.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't know what's happening in this situation.
I don't want to police someone's good time. I also don't want it to be dangerous for people.
I'll just speak for me then, because you're right. I don't want to police anybody else's good time. But I've sat in those seats and thought to myself, that's probably enough.
Right.
I've made that choice.
Yeah, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, do I have control of myself right now?
Am I going to go up there and go to the bathroom and then come back and walk down these like kind of odd stairs that...
And ballparks in general are difficult in that way. And it's the only designs that we've had, you know, and in both places, we're talking about what a 35-year-old ballpark and a 100-and-something-year-old ballpark.
A 100-and-something-year-old ballpark that fixed just about everything, but not quite everything. I'm telling you, next time you're up there, walk those stairs down and see, like, it's a little uneven.
Well, the stairs and the ramping, like, it's not always, especially if you're... You know, you're struggling. And I know there have been some people that have been upset about some of the ADA updates that haven't been made over at Wrigley. So the whole thing is terrifying. And I think that both teams, all of the players, all of the broadcasters handled it extremely well. And I don't know how I would react if I were in the same space. But I think that the way that these guys reacted is a guide on how to deal with something as traumatic as that in the moment.
I would agree with that. The managers coming together and the way that the players have all talked and then you know, you'll see what happens with the fan itself and the fan himself and then any other fallout thereafter. But if you were watching, you probably had a similar experience to us where you're like, all right, how exactly do we just go back to our little comic book sports universe and get upset about little things? And
oh, well, I got you faded on that.
You
that's,
do?
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
What you got?
Well, we did promise people commercial free and we gave it to you. We gave you, what, 40 minutes commercial free.
I thought that was a good rock block. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, Nirvana is coming up next. Yeah. So we've done this. When we come back, if you want to get upset about the old sports-a-roo, wait until you hear what Casey Johnson says about the potential of the Bulls making trades for people. That's next. Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
How about you? Are you going to be in charge of the Giannis dreaming for the Chicago Bulls? A lot of teams are in the Giannis dream business today.
No, but... This has been one of those things that's just kind of been floating around for a long time. Like, even when Giannis signed his extension in Milwaukee, he was like, you know where he's going to end up. He's going to end up being a Bull. It's probably not going to happen, but perhaps it happens. We'll get to that in a second. If you're someone... Oh, yeah, I hear it.
Solid.
Tyler... You have no idea what this song is, do you, Tyler?
I do know the song.
You do?
Really?
Yes.
That's good.
Long-time Eddie Grant guy? I like that.
This song is timeless.
He comes from a long line of Eddie Grant people.
And we were right. It was what Montgomery Ward used to call their electronic department. Do you know what I mean when I say Montgomery Ward?
Oh, yeah. I do. Okay, I don't know that.
Oh, it's an important person.
But I do
person.
Know this song.
It's an important person in the history of this
Wait.
This
lifelong
city.
Chicagoan, though, right?
Yes.
Come on, Tyler. Take the architectural boat tour. Have you taken the architectural boat tour?
I have not.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? When it veers right up the north branch of the river, they will point out what was the old Montgomery Ward, not the factory, but the warehouse.
Yeah.
Where they would send everything. And so at least you'd get that. But then you could look up other stuff.
Speaking of the architectural tour.
Oh, dude, this is the best.
I got a text this morning from... Jeffrey Bear.
Stop right there. Folks, we know people on this show. There's a reason you're tuned in to Spiegel and Holmes. We've worked in this town a long time, made a lot of relationships. Lawrence got a text this morning from Jeffrey Bear, the architectural maven and Chicago history expert for public TV and more.
Yeah, his new series, by the way, is really good on Channel 11. You should check it out because he does a whole thing on the lakefront and all of the different ways from DuSable until now that the lakefront has been used. And it's phenomenal. Anyway.
Well, would you tell your friend Jeffrey Bear, by the way, that I once made a much too large donation. Not much too large, but larger than I could afford at the time.
Your old and new duffel bag? Is that what you're saying?
I got a DVD box set of Jeffrey Bear's TV shows, and that's why I did it. Like, his productions were what got me to donate in the way that I did.
Well, they're really great. And the thing is that Jeffrey is also an elite Cubs fan. Like, he's a crazy Cub fan. And I think... If I remember this right, because I had him on House of L a couple of weeks ago. If you want to scroll through, you can watch it. It was really great. I think his next special is going to be about jobs, like Chicago jobs. And one of the things that he's doing is going into the scoreboard at Wrigley. Man. So he can live out that dream.
That's a dream for me, too.
Jeffrey Bear heard us talking about the Kyle Tucker package that we're putting together to try to get him to stay.
Hashtag woo King Tuck.
And Speaks was like, well, do we need to get Jeffrey Bear to give him a private architectural tour? And I was like, you know, that could probably be arranged. And Jeffrey sent me a text, was like, he's all in. He's like, he is all in on the idea of giving Kyle Tucker the architectural tour.
Dude, it is coming together. It really is. We just need somebody who makes space heaters and parkas. We've got...
No, we're staying away from the cold.
I know.
We can't sell the cold.
I'm selling that there's ways to deal with it.
No, just ignore it.
Correct.
Trust me. Someone from Florida, they're never going to like it.
We cannot sell the cold. We got to sell everything other than the cold.
Okay.
Tyler, you've never done the architectural tour? Sir.
Every year, dude.
Sir, yeah. It is worth your time. It is here's what, and it speaks is right. It is a touristy thing that every Chicagoan should do once a year.
You learn so much about the city you live in, and you see the beauty, and then you walk through the city the rest of your time, and you're like, oh, I know that. I know this.
You'll find out why St. Louis and Chicago are rivals, like why the city of St. Louis hates the city of Chicago.
It's one of the engineering marvels of the modern age.
There are not a lot of things I will give St. Louis. We were wrong, and we deserve their scorn.
Oh, there's some things I will give St. Louis, like my sewage. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Which is what we did.
That's what
Tyler.
We did, and we still do it.
We reversed the flow and
sent
so,
it south.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That wasn't nice.
We sent our sewage instead of into our drinking water. We sent it to St. Louis.
This is the type of stuff when you go and Jeffrey Bear takes you on an architectural tour of the river. And again, every Chicagoan should do it once a year.
Every year.
Yeah, it's so great.
You learn new stuff.
And
that explains why St. Louis pizza is so bad. That does not explain that.
It is garbage.
No, that would be the cheese.
It is garbage, and we did send them garbage, and those two things are connected, but... You know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Chris Ranji's on the line? Never mind. We're not taking that phone call. So, anywho, getting back to the Bulls stuff. Because we were talking a little bit about Giannis and the idea of Giannis maybe being unhappy in Milwaukee and looking around and being like, Dame's going to be another year before he's back. And by the time he's back, he's probably not the same player that he used to be. Middleton's gone. Doc might not know what he's doing as far as being a coach of the team.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot there. If you're Giannis, are you looking at the front door? Shout out to Main Source. Are you trying to figure out what you want to do? And could the Bulls be a possibility for Giannis? Well, Casey Johnson of CHSN was on with Mully and Haw this morning, and he talked about the concept of Giannis as a Bull.
I think we got a Secretary of State involved now. We got a lot going on here.
I'm against
the trade just because I don't want to have to say that last name on the air multiple times a night. You know, that's a tough pronounce. It's a long shot. I mean, a lot of things need to happen. I mean, first of all, let's analyze the relationship between Giannis and that franchise and that community, right? I mean, that's a pretty unique situation in the league. Giannis has always professed loyalty to that place. Obviously, they can, you know, supersede that loyalty and trade him without his desire or his buy-in. I would be surprised if that would happen. But let's start there. That step has not happened yet. If it were to happen, I mean, it's going to be a bidding war. I assume it's not going to be conducted like the Luka Doncic trade. And I mean, I'd like to hear the package you guys came up with for the Bulls, because I'm struggling to find a suitable one.
Couple firsts.
How many?
Two. Firsts, how many would it take?
I mean, you're talking about I would say minimum three. You're talking about top three player in the world.
Okay.
And
three first, Kobe White and Vooch. Would that get it done?
Yeah.
No.
You know, I have not spent a lot of time on this, but what I would say is, obviously, I've heard some of the chatter, and it's going to be a dominant theme to this NBA offseason.
Right.
Undeniably. And look, the whole league descends upon Chicago very shortly for the NBA draft combine and the draft lottery. So it will be, I'll be walking around asking people about it for sure. But, you know, even like yesterday, I got you guys get those emails from like the odds makers sites, different sites. So I got one from yesterday. I just for fun opened it. The Bulls were like 50-1 shots. I mean, it's like if Vegas says that, I mean, you know, I don't see a pathway for a trade for the Bulls. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to fantasize about. I assume that the Bulls would get involved in that bidding, but I don't see a pathway for a Bulls trade.
To give a little context to what Casey is talking about, the Minnesota Timberwolves traded Rudy Gobert to the Jazz for a package that included Patrick Beverley, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, Leonardo Bolmaro.
Oh my God.
The draft rights to Walker Kessler and four first round picks.
I remembered the four. I didn't remember that there were four other players, which might have been, you know, some warm bodies that added up to some salary, some of them. But yeah, Kobe White and Vooch. The Vooch part, it's like, that was a quick, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
But I mean, if you're stopping at three number one picks,
yeah,
and you realize that Rudy Gobert went for four.
But Luka went for none. They didn't get any.
Yeah, but they got one of the great Hall
players.
Of Fame player.
Yes, they did.
Back, and we're clear that their GM doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, you're not going to go all Nico Harrison on this.
Yeah. The Jazz got four number one picks.
Well, look.
Four. And dudes. Like five guys.
Well, look.
And in fact, technically, with Kessler, they got five because he was the number 22 pick in the draft. So, and that's for Rudy Gobert, not for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So, look, Alexei Giannoulias, the Secretary of State, who and first we appreciate,
and now he's in charge of the tumblers.
Yeah, is he?
No.
Okay,
but that's Layla and I's our running bit.
He inherited the tumblers.
If you get the job, then you get to also be in charge of the tumblers, the Alexis Giannoulias tumblers.
Well, man, I hope the tumblers are as active as they want to be, and I hope that program is as positive as it has appeared to be.
I've run into Alexi two times just randomly. One was I was having breakfast with Hood in Hyde Park at Valoy, which is one of my favorite spots. Greek diner in Hyde Park off 53rd. If you ever go in there, say what's up to my guy Larry and my guy Tom.
I don't go south enough for brunch. I don't.
You should. But that place is like, you know, even if you're just thinking, me and Ruben, you got a day off and you go down there, cash only.
So it's Valoy, but spelled like Valois, right? With an O-I-S?
Yeah, exactly. So Hood and I were there, and he was just making the rounds, and he stopped and talked to us because he liked how our breakfast. He's like, man, that breakfast looks slammed.
He was kissing babies.
And yeah, he was doing all that.
Signing autographs and stuff.
The other time, me and my good friend Afia were at, is it Athena, right? Athena on Halsted in Greektown.
Yes, Athena.
And he was having his fundraiser. And I looked over my shoulder. And
in Greektown?
Yeah, shocking, right? And there he was. But for those of you who don't know, he threw his weight and kind of winked and jokingly threw the weight of the state of the Illinois behind it and saying, we want to bring Giannis here.
Here we go. The tweet yesterday from Alexi Giannoulias with the two siren emojis. You know, I am proud to officially announce that I am the unofficial, unauthorized, self-appointed chairman of the Bring Giannis to the Chicago Bulls initiative. Giannis, the greatest city in the world, want you. More to come, dot, 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 dot.
And the funny part about that is that it could look like what an announcement for him possibly running for mayor could look like. And that's what some people might react to the first few words of that, because there are a lot of people who think he's going to run for mayor.
I get it. Oh, so he's playing on that possible expectation.
And playing on the Greek thing.
And yeah, well, he tagged at Chicago Bulls, at Giannis, and at Chicago. And the emojis are a basketball and the Greek flag.
What he should have done is that he should have tagged Hawk. Hawk knows all about the Greeks.
Hawk Harrelson?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
His lovely wife, Eris.
Oh, okay, that's right. Oh, yeah, it's right. For the booth.
Tyler, I guarantee you.
Go find
it's
please.
In the vault.
It needs to be.
I guarantee you, Hawk Harrelson talking about Greek culture is in the vault.
Yeah.
Let's get him in here and get Giannis on the team.
Well, our friend Luke Kanellis, your Fox 32 WFLD sportscaster.
That name sounds Greek to me.
And in fact, it is. And he is the proprietor of Avli, the outstanding Greek restaurant. There are a few of them. I like the one over here at Lakeshore East, right by us. He is a partner with Giannis Antetokounmpo in the Milwaukee location of Avli. And Lou is all in. Lou is all in to try and make his business partner come down to Chicago. I think Lou can offer him, I don't want to speak for Lou, but maybe a slightly increased role.
Percentage, maybe?
I don't see. That's the part I don't want to speak for. Like the increased percentage
I feel like Lou would do that. And look.
An extra 1% of all the Chicago locations.
Right.
Or at least cut him in on the Chicago locations.
I don't think Giannis needs money.
No, but he likes Greek food.
He does.
He'd like to have three or four locations.
Helithos Anesti.
It's Hawk right. Speaking Greek.
That's right. It's Greek to me.
Shame on me. I didn't have my baseball brain on or my Hawk brain. I was all up in this place. And I said Hawk and Greek people. And I was thinking, well, he did say Latins aren't funny. I remember that.
No, he has had a lot of great conversations. His lovely wife, Eris.
Yeah.
I met Eris in Vegas with Hawk. It was nice.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely. So, yeah.
I miss Hawk.
So we got,
shout out to Hawk.
Is Hawk fluent?
In Greek?
Sounds like it.
Sure sounded like
hey,
it.
Hey, you might have to be.
Maybe Hawk is, but Ken is not, right? There's Ken, and then there's Hawk. Yeah.
And get them all working on the same thing? That would be good.
Yeah.
Poor Tyler. He's just like giggling, looking at all of the Hawk drops that he has to choose from.
Tyler's learned a lot today. Tyler, congratulations.
You guys are educating me.
That's good.
So to say.
Yeah, that's good.
We're here to help.
Yeah, man. Whatever you need. Anything else you need some education on?
I'll let you guys know.
All right. My boy is studying, he needs some miseducation on that. My boy is studying the quadrilateral equations. Or quadratic equations. One of the two.
You helping him with homework?
No, I'm not.
Clearly not.
I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing. There's like...
You did transitive property yesterday.
I sure did. And I could do that again. And that was regarding the Bulls. All right. So, Lawrence... Okay, so they can't get Giannis, but there's other stars they can get?
Yeah, there is. But how about this? We'll take a break and we'll let you know about that other star and add in some other NBA conversation as well.
Good, good, good.
Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on the score.
Christos the Nasty. Helithos Anesti.
Batman, Superman, Lakers in 5.
Anthony Edwards took a victory lap around, what is it now? Is it crypto.com, Staples, something?
Crypto, I think you're right on the crypto.
He took a victory lap around it yesterday, talking with fans and made fun of the now infamous Lakers in 5. Because they took care of business in 5 against the Lakers, and there's a lot of questions about J.J. Redick and what the hell he was doing in that series.
Oh, man. Yeah, he had some troubling moments. And you and I both love the NBA playoffs. We could do hours and hours on the NBA playoffs. I mean, they've been fascinating, and they're going to continue to be fascinating.
Probably more fascinating now. Mm-hmm. But seeing the TNT team even bring up not just JJ's meeting with the media, but they brought up how their meeting with him was weird yesterday. And I don't know, man.
Was it Reggie who kept saying he's got to let it go?
Yeah.
Because he was holding on to this, like the criticism of having leaned on those guys for minutes, because then Luka fell apart. That's what I couldn't stop thinking
about. And it's wild because I think Luka was, 35-5 for the series? And still, you're like, it was Luka's fault that they didn't win.
Well, he looked physically broken.
No doubt.
And it made me think about conversations we've had about the trade. Like, is Nico Harrison, is he redeemed if Luka's body falls apart and his career falls apart?
It's an interesting question. That's for sure. But there's another guy out there who has had some his body might fall apart moments. That is also a possibility for the Bulls to trade for. Mm-hmm. And here's what KC said about the idea of getting Zion.
Well, I mean, this is going to be like buzzkill radio here, but I mean, you guys heard Arturis' season end news conference, did
yes.
you not? I mean, that sounded like a guy to me who was tired of burning first round picks and, you know, going for the quick fixes attempts, and sounded like a guy who was asking fans for patience to do this the methodical way through the draft. That's what I heard. I could be wrong, but that's what I heard. Now, he did say, you know, I'm open to all opportunities, and he's proven before that if he sees the right opportunity, he will cash in draft picks to try to get it done. But that's not what I heard, and certainly in my conversations with people around the franchise, that is not the mindset that I'm entering the offseason with. I'm entering the offseason with the mindset of adding this first round pick, looking for an opportunity in free agency, and mostly running this roster back with internal improvement. I mean, how many times have you heard internal development, internal
yes.
improvement
yes.
throughout that news conference? So again, I'm not trying to like say buzzkill. I know that the NBA offseason is like fans' favorite time of the year. It's the best soap opera league in the world. That's not the lens with which I'm viewing the Bulls offseason.
Buzzkill radio. Every time Casey Johnson comes on and tells you some truth. Yeah, it is a great soap opera. And you know what? Players actually move. Superstars actually.
It happens.
All the time.
It happened just a few months ago.
All the time, Lawrence. But not the Bulls. They're not going to bother. They're going to worry about development. But oh, by the way, let's fire the best coach. Let's fire the shooting coach. We're going to worry about the draft and building through the draft. But otherwise, oh, by the way, we're not going to tank in a historic lottery year. And next year for another historic lottery year, we're not going to tank there either. But we're going to build in the draft. Marching their way to the 7 seed, if we can. Good luck, everybody.
7 seed would be a step forward for them. Not getting beat by the Heat in the play-in would be the next thing that you want
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, they're hoping to get away from the play-in. Maybe we can avoid the play-in. That's the dream for the freaking Bulls.
Speaking of Mully and Haw, keep listening for your chance to win your way in to see Mully and Haw do their live show on Friday, May 16th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of the studio audience as they get set to start the Crosstown series with special guests and plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Plus, popcorn. Oh, that's right. Popcorn will be provided by Nuts on Clark.
Let's go.
Yar. Be the sixth caller to 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
Sometimes I dream.
That's it.
Oh, you're not. Oh, that's it.
He just goes to sleep and sometimes he dreams. Makes a lot of sense. You know, it depends on if you get deep enough REM. Or not.
It's important to get that sleep.
So
it helps with a lot of stuff.
Nuts on Clark. If I'm going Nuts on Clark, I'm going the mix, right? Get that.
I can't have pretty much anything there, and it makes me insane.
That's too bad.
Because I want the fresh cashews. Like, oh.
That was Terry's thing. Terry used to talk about the cashews. When he would talk about the fat years, as he called them, his fat years, he's like, oh, yeah, the cashews is what did it.
Fresh salted cashews, man. Nothing better. Nothing better.
You know what was really good? You drove me the other day. We went to Sweet Mandy B's. That cake, it was called banana caramel, banana caramel cabinet cake.
The cabinet part is what I was trying to figure out.
It did not taste like a cabinet. There was banana, but it was like their basic cake is so
good. For those of us
are
watching on Twitch, it was about this high.
And the quality of their cake, like the quality of their cupcakes and everything, is just exquisite. And this had some banana to it, some custard to it, and some caramel to it.
Yeah, I had something. I had something Friday that I was like, this is so good, I can never have it again. That sea salt caramel brownie from Sweet Mandy B's. When I finished it Friday night, I was like, oh, I can never have this again. It was delicious.
I'm going to go get one now.
And I can never, ever have that again. We should ask Lomas Brown about desserts.
He's enjoyed a few delicious desserts.
Yeah, we can ask him about that. We can also ask him about what Ben Johnson wants his offensive linemen to do. Lomas Brown is going to talk. We got a football block for you coming up between Lomas Brown and Big Ann Heron. So don't go anywhere. The 4 o'clock hour is just for you. Spiegel and Holmes on the score.